Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we have been in a series that I have called Tis the Season, and I really appreciate your positive feedback. I'm thankful that this series has been helpful to you as we kind of deal with how we feel this time of year, especially in 2020. And it's not been a particularly fun Christmas series, but I hope that it has been a helpful Christmas series. And to conclude, I'm going to share with you a true story this morning. Really, I'm just going to share a narration with you this morning. It's about a family who suffered many trials and tribulations throughout their life. They had some dark moments, but in those dark moments, they found hope and they found peace and they found purpose in association with the season, the Christmas season. And we're going to see that in this story, what they experienced, God used to transform them, and God used it to bless many other people, even up until this day. And so no matter what this season has been like for you, hope remains, peace is still offered, and God is still God. Amen? And we're going to see that it can be well with our soul. In mid-November, in 1873, an ocean liner set sail from New York, bound for France, with 313 passengers on board. And you can imagine at the end of November, a festive occasion on board this ship as it crossed the Atlantic with ribbons of red and swags of green and Christmas carols wafting through the dining room, sparkling with candlelight. In a few days, they would make landfall in Europe. Their destination ultimately was Paris for Christmas. Anna Spafford and her four little girls were among the passengers. They had come from Chicago. Annie was 11 years old. Margaret Lee was 9. Bessie was 5. And the baby, Tanetta, was just 2. Their father, Horatio, had intended to sail with them, but was detained on business. But not to worry, he told his wife and he told his girls. He would be not far behind, just a few days behind, and then he would be with them and they would all be reunited in Paris, the city of light, to celebrate the season of light. 2 years earlier, the great Chicago fire had all but destroyed Horatio's business, and as things were beginning to turn for the better, this journey was intended to restore hope and bring healing into the lives of this family. And once on board the ship, on the evening of November the 22nd, Anna and her girls knelt down. They said their prayers, lay in their beds, and fell asleep. But about 2 o'clock in the morning, they were suddenly awakened and shaken in their beds. Despite a clear and starry night, their ship had inexplicably collided with another vessel. The lifeboats quickly filled up with people. Many of the passengers ended up in the icy waters, and Anna tried desperately to keep all four of her girls in her sight, but the two eldest very quickly became separated in all the confusion. And just 12 minutes after that first impact, a wave washed over the deck, and Anna was drawn under the water, together with her two youngest daughters. She held on to her 5-year-old Bessie until her strength just gave out. And her last waking memory was of 2-year-old Tanetta in her lace nightgown, torn from her grasp, getting smaller and smaller until she disappeared. Later, the crew of the second ship found Anna unconscious, holding on to a wooden plank. And when the ship docked in Wells, Anna sent a telegram to her husband that simply said, "Saved alone. What will I do?" Horatio immediately booked passage and set sail from New York, and he wrote to a friend, "There is just one thing in these days that has become magnificently clear. I must not lose faith." And 4 days into his voyage, on a Thursday evening, the captain of the ship summoned Mr. Stafford to the foredeck and told him that by the crew's calculations, they were nearing the very place where his family's ship had gone down and where his daughters lay 3 miles below the surface. But Horatio refused to look into the waters. He refused to look down. He said, "I don't think that my little ones are there." Instead, he gazed out across the rolling waves and into the moonlit sky. And there and then, he began to formulate a simple expression of his faith. And he wrote a verse that became a hymn. Would you sing it with me? "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Just a few weeks earlier, in that same place on the sea, Anna had had a similar awakening. After her rescue and after she regained her consciousness, she was, first of all, overcome with despair, and she really wanted to throw herself into the ocean. What was life worth now, she wondered. What could it ever be without her children? But it was then and it was there that she heard a voice in her mind, in her spirit. And the voice just simply said, "You were spared for a purpose, Anna. You have work to do." "For me, be it Christ, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pain shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul." Once they had returned to Chicago, Horatio and Anna went back to life, sought support in their church family. Anna gave birth to a little boy and then to a little girl. But sorrow wasn't done with this family, and their son Horatio Jr. died of scarlet fever before he was even 3. A year later, they had another daughter. And so only 2 of their 7 children lived. But the Spaffords never gave up hope. "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this
this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul.
And so through the harrowing Christmas season of 1873, the Spaffords became ever more certain that God loves his children. Whoever they are, wherever they may be, whatever they may be going through. In the years to come, in 1881, the family moved to Jerusalem. They established there a home not far from the town of Bethlehem.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Because of their deep faith, because they felt they'd been called for a purpose, they began to serve in their new home. They began to relieve the effects of poverty, of disease, of strife, wherever it was found. After 7 years there, Horatio himself died, and grieving again, Anna had every reason to give up, but she did not. Every life has its contradictions and its imperfections, and hers was no different than yours. But when it mattered the most, in her most profound spiritual crisis, when all had seemed lost, Anna found strength in the Lord. She moved toward the Lord, and she continued in the work that her family had begun. And that seed of service which they had planted bore fruit in their surviving daughter. Her name was Bertha. She continued to expand the family's humanitarian work with the simple intent of rescuing those who had experienced the shipwrecks of life, like her family had. During World War I, she led the way in organizing soup kitchens for refugees. She oversaw hospitals for wounded soldiers. She ministered to soldiers from each side. And on Christmas Eve, on her way to Bethlehem 1 year, Bertha met a Bedouin man, his ailing wife, and their newborn son, who were riding on a donkey. She later wrote, "Here before me stood a rustic mother and her babe, and similar to Mary's plight, there was no place for them to stay.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay."
By the next morning, that mother had died, and the father asked Bertha to take the baby into her care. She agreed. she named the little boy Noel. Within a week, she had taken in two more children, orphaned babies, and so began the Spafford family's most endearing work, a hospital for children. And she explained, "We make no distinction in nationality or creed, the only requirement being that people are in need." And that hospital remains in Bethlehem to this day, and it bears the Spafford family name.
But it, Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul.
And for nearly 150 years, millions of Christians have been singing the song that came out of this season in the Spafford family's life. And millions have been strengthened by its universal message, the message of a child who brought peace to the earth, who brought goodwill to every man, who went through his own season of suffering and tragedy, but who rose. And so the human spirit can rise. And whenever and however we suffer our own night of sorrows, God's love shines in the darkness. Hope heals wounded souls. And the Christmas work, the Christian work of giving, of loving, of serving, of rescuing, is ours to choose no matter what season we're in. And as we do, we join with the saints and with the angels, and we sing, "It's well. It is well with my soul."
And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is my soul.